All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to the Beauty and the Beast Physical Therapy and Strength and Conditioning Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Dr. Ross Childs.
Oh, happy current day Wednesday, Thursday, by the time you guys hear this. Nice to have everyone back and, you know, getting closer and closer to the holidays. So I hope everyone is eating junk and getting pissed off at shopping while getting into the holiday spirit. I know for me it's challenging at times, and I still like shopping in person, and people think that's crazy, but it just helps me partially enjoy what I'm doing. Now, Adam, are you more of the let me shop and do everything online, or do you still like going to the store in person?
I prefer going to the store. I unfortunately get to a spot where I either see things online that are only sold online. I'm like, oh, that's perfect for the person, and it just happens to only be sold online, or I just wait too long, so sure. Then my only options are really like, okay, I either can find something and get it here in 3 days,
Yep. Or
I have to spend an entire day searching the store with everybody else who forgot to get stuff until
sure. One
week before Christmas.
Yeah, I find I like going because it actually gets me into the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Just shopping online doesn't do it for me, but I also, I'm old school, I like to pay in cash, so it's only so much money to go, so I go buy what I need to buy, and I run out of money, I run out of money.
It's a much better way to do it than I do.
It's a safer approach, I feel. But
yes.
Now, the only time it sucks is when the stores are busy, because you expect everyone in today's world to be online shopping. So then you go. It's like I was at Target the other night. Target itself was not busy.
Yeah.
But there were like 27 goddamn people in line for Starbucks. You know, and anyone that knows me knows I'm very routine. I go to Starbucks, I get a coffee, I walk around with my coffee, I get pissed off at everyone, then I leave. And I couldn't even get a coffee that night, so I really couldn't even get into it. It was like, get in, get what I need to get, and get the hell out. So
I will say that I do everything in my power to buy from anyone that's not Amazon. I can't. I hate supporting Amazon. They piss me off so often, and it's just such a huge conglomerate that it's the same reason I don't like buying stuff from Walmart.
Agreed. You know, they're
and abusing it because I wait too long and they're the only option. But
well, exactly, and then it's there as convenience, why
yeah.
A lot of people enjoy doing it. I like to do a good mix of it all, so I mean, I know if I have to drive a decent distance to go somewhere, it's just Amazon for me, so that's really the big difference.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the spirit of the holiday, Adam and I wanted to, actually this was Adam's idea and I thought it was great. He kind of wanted to do a two-part series to this, and, you know, I basically said, let's just call it the naughty list. So we're going to have naughty list part one, which today that's going to pertain to training, and then we'll do nutrition next week. And really what we're looking at are just exercises that are just, they're dumb. They're shit. And we would actually like people to try to convince us of that otherwise. Now, and now, correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, this is kind of where you were going with this idea.
Yes, yeah. I kind of feel like we do a good job of, granted we go off on our rants and stuff like that, but I feel like we always do a good job of coming back around to like, okay, this particular exercise, this particular recovery modality, whatever, may not be for everyone, and here's why I'm saying that you shouldn't do this, maybe not now, but 95, a greater percentage of that, of exercises will work for somebody.
Yeah.
And we kind of, I'll admit, I kind of twist myself into a pretzel to say sometimes that I think an exercise can be good for X. And I believe that it can be good for X, but for 99% of people, I think it's dumb.
Yeah.
There are some exercises, though, that no one has been able, that I think are stupid. I don't think anybody should be doing them. Not anybody should be doing them, but I just think they're worthless. And I've never had anybody give me a good reason why these particular exercises are the way they are. So.
Sure. And, you know, as we talked about just before we came on air, it was really, this is challenging to do, being that we always try to justify them,
mm-hmm.
you know. So if someone's going to do them, how should you do it? And this is the benefit we can get out of it. And really with this, it was just these suck, and really we can't make that justification. So I'm sure I'm going to slip up today and say, well, we can do it like this. I'm going to try to turn off that part of me today, and I'm just gonna roll with it. So I'm interested to hear. I'll let you go first because this was your idea.
I feel like we just probably, just so that, like, it's not like I take all three of the ones you, let's just like jump back.
Yeah,
let's
jump back and forth.
So my first one, and I don't necessarily think this is the worst one on my list, but I want to get it because I just think it's, I can't figure out any effing reason for it. Deficit deadlifts.
All right. I like that one. A lot of people hate them.
I see them. I don't know if the thought process is bodybuilding, getting higher up on the upper hamstrings, or I'm so flexible that I can go below my foot line for... I think they're fucking stupid.
So, just for the crowd who doesn't know what a deficit is, can you describe what a deficit deadlift is?
I don't know if that's the actual name for it. I don't know.
That's what it is. Well, describe it, and and I'll tell you.
Whenever I've seen somebody execute it, they're standing on either a set of two bumper plates. So essentially, they're vaulted up 4 or 5 inches off the ground, or it could be a box or whatever, and they're deadlifting to the floor.
Yep,
which is below their foot line.
That's what I call a deadlift at a deficit, or deficit deadlift.
And I remember there was after seeing it the first couple times, I remember putting something out on, I think it was on Facebook. It might have been on Instagram too, like saying, "Somebody tell me what this is good for." As far as I'm concerned, there's no reason that you should be deadlifting to a deficit. No good reason. So somebody give me some. And it was just like, oh, somebody's super flexible. Or somebody told me for baseball catchers. I'm like, help me understand how deadlifting below your hip line with your shoulders is affecting your ability as a catcher in baseball.
And if that were the case, why wouldn't they just do a belt squat?
Yeah, why wouldn't you squat?
Goblet squat.
Or here's the thought, increase the weight of your deadlift. I just can't. And, fine, you're super flexible. You can go that low. Like, you have the ability to maintain a neutral spine from that low. Fine, but what purpose do you have for loading the tissue that far, even if you have the flexibility?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I feel like the risk of injury is so much higher than the reward that I can't think of a reason that it's necessary.
And I'm not even going to try to justify it, because that's what we normally do. I do think it's dumb, and I've seen in the past, especially with especially females, the ones that are a little more hypermobile in their lower thoracic spine. You and I have worked together a lot where it's, okay, well, if they're getting too much flexion at the bottom of their deadlift, let's elevate it so that they don't have to use it. So to me, it goes against what we were just talking about. The person would have to bend their spine even more, unless they have superb flexibility, as you already talked about, or mobility. But even then, risk versus reward, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I feel like at a certain point, your hamstrings are still extending, but how much farther can your hips actually hinge backwards without them having to come down into a squat? When I see it, it's people doing basically like an RDL. It's not even like a conventional deadlift where it's just turning into more of a squat. They're doing like an RDL below their foot line. I already think it's dumb if they're like, just do a squat if you're going to do a conventional deadlift elevated. Never mind doing an RDL elevated.
Sure. Well, I just went ahead and Googled benefits of a deficit deadlift. And this is from the website Barbend, which I've read some of their stuff before. Benefits include increased quad strength, building posterior chain strength, lower back strength, greater force production, increased time under tension, stronger pulls, and you expose a deadlift weakness. And then they go into actual reasons why. I'm not going to bother reading all those. It sounds like all of those things you can get with a regular deadlift.
I was just going to say, you could use those exact same descriptors for a regular deadlift.
The only thing, and I'm going to justify just one of them based on that, the greater force production.
Yeah.
You know, because you're a little bit lower, you have to increase that force production to get it off the ground. However, you're also at your end range, And we do know if you overload the tissue at the end range, that's where issues happen. It's never going to be through the mid range. So would I ever put it in for one of my athletes or patients? No, I would not.
Nope.
You know, it's not something that I would never say it's a dumb exercise, but if I'm not seeing a much greater benefit than the risk that it's proposing to us, it's just not worth it. So I would certainly agree that that's a dumb exercise. So and you probably get like your power lifters, maybe strong men, strong women, competitors may try to convince us of that, but
right. And I mean, the only time that I could see somebody, and I would still argue that there are better exercises to execute to get said results, but I could see like somebody who does strongman who has to get theirself down to like a what do they call, like an Atlas stone or something, where your hands are basically at foot level and you have to be able to hinge that up. You really can't fully get your legs underneath a, you know, whatever,
yeah,
asinine weighted Atlas stone.
But even with Atlas stone, you're still wrapping your arms underneath it. You're holding it against you, so the load is not that far away from you. The lever arm is much shorter. Now, I'm not saying it's easier, but it's a different lift at that point. So I love how you just tried to justify it. And it's like, oh, no, well, you know, that's apples and oranges at that point. So, but I appreciate you trying to take, you know, my role and trying to justify everything. So I agree with you on that one. Now, one that I think is dumb, and this is more so from a functional standpoint, and you can try to fight me on this if you want, are dumbbell side bends. So people are holding the dumbbell. People are holding the dumbbells by their sides.
Oh, I'm so pissed. I got to like three or four, and I was like, okay, I got the big ones out. I am completely on your side.
I got some smaller ones on this list that you're going to be like, yeah, there's no fucking benefit.
Nope, I didn't even think. I forgot about that. Yeah, no, I hate those.
And I always love it because you get the people that have one dumbbell on each side, or they're holding the barbells or kettlebells, and they go back and forth on each side. Or then you get the fancy looking people that get the one hand behind the head.
Yep.
And then they're just, pulling back and forth. Functionally, that does nothing for us.
Nothing.
And I see so many people doing this. It absolutely baffles me that it's still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially where we know how the core works. You know, if someone's a bodybuilder and they need to increase hypertrophy of a given area, fine, I'll let you live with that. But I'm not dealing with aesthetics. I'm dealing more with people who need performance.
Right.
It's a shitty thing to do. People look like idiots doing it. You know, it's great if you have six-pack abs. You can see all the muscles ripped out. But that's not the person that I see doing it.
No.
The person that I see needing to do it needs to do functional core stabilization exercises, trap bar deadlift, farmer's carries, goblet squats, just reflexive stabilization. The obliques just don't work that way.
I was going to say, they don't... They anchor, but they're not meant to contract laterally, right? I mean, they can contract laterally, but
they eccentrically load, but really the obliques are going to do more of kind of that rotation based off of their tissue orientation. So I know a lot of people do it. Just like when people do side crunches,
mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, if you're going to do a regular crunch, I can live with that, but a side crunch just baffles me.
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't make sense. A side plank would be for me more functional than a side crunch. And a side plank only gets us so far because it's not even functional.
Right.
But it's more functional than the side crunch. But this was first on my list. As soon as you said, what's a dumb exercise? I said, okay, it's gonna be the side bend. I can't justify that in any way, shape, or form in the world of rehab and performance.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. That one should have been on my list. I forgot about it.
Yeah, no one should be doing it.
All right, so you want to move on to my next one?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that you knew this one was coming, but American swings.
American swings.
We go over, we've talked about it in bits and pieces all the time. I mean, multiple times. Mm-hmm. But American swings, for those of you who don't know, so most of the time what you see with your normal kettlebell swing at any place that does functional, well, I shouldn't say functional necessarily, because there are places that are functional that don't, that do American swings, but most of the times that are more performance-based and stuff like that are doing a Russian swing. That's mm-hmm. where the hands come, you hinge, so your hips go back, not really down. Hips go back like a deadlift. You reach through and you explode and you finish up at shoulder height. An American swing involves more of a, I would say it's more of a squat.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely comes, the part that I hate isn't necessarily the squat versus the hinge. It's more the coming up overhead.
Yeah.
So instead of stopping at the shoulder height and expressing the power back down, you're flying up overhead and trying to create a bigger arc, which creates more core engagement and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I always looked at it as far as it really allows when the weight, when the kettlebell is weightless over your head, it actually allows for a moment of rest. And they also use more of a squat pattern, which allows them to use a heavier weight because a lot of them don't have the hip hinge power to actually do that. So I'd really, you know, and I do them, you know, but because it's part of the workout, but do I fully understand the justification of it greater than that of a Russian swing? Nope. Do I think most people should be doing American swings? No. American swings. Now, the reason for that is because when you grip the kettlebell, you're in shoulder internal rotation.
Mm-hmm.
When you start to go overhead, you're going to lock yourself out a lot sooner instead of compared to think of like a snatch, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You're more in an externally rotated position. When you pull your elbows down, I'm talking more of a barbell.
Yeah.
And then your hands are much wider. So when your hands are narrow and you come overhead, the margin of error is very, very small. If you do not have full shoulder mobility, the likelihood of that wrenching on your shoulder joint is increased. You know, generally I find it's the same thing. If someone does any type of kip on the bar, if they're just lacking thoracic extension, it creates a big problem. Whereas a lot of people can get away with a loss of thoracic extension with the Russian swing. You know, those are things that we should be working on. But I agree, functionally, are there other things that we can do where we can get the same benefit? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, especially as fatigue goes up, really I try to minimize overhead stuff. So if someone said to me, I'm becoming fatigued, should I be doing a push jerk versus an American swing? I'd say, well, we're going to minimize that power because your hips can still get the weight up there. But what if your shoulders aren't ready to stabilize it at the top? So I would just much rather see a safer exercise. Again, shoulders I really think are something that if we overdo it, the likelihood of a huge problem happening, it happens at the shoulders. So I would have to agree that it's an exercise that if it got taken off the face of this planet, I don't think I'd miss it. I can't justify it. So now, the next one that I have, and I still see people doing this, and I hear about people doing this. We know I love plyometrics,
mm-hmm.
you know, explosiveness, things along those lines. I still don't understand why people do barbell jump squats.
Wait, what?
Barbell jump squats. So the bars across the back, like they're set up for a squat, and they do an actual jump squat. Yes. So they've already have axial loading through the spine with the bar.
Yep.
And then they lift off the ground, and then they slam body weight plus the barbell plus gravity through their spine.
Oh.
And then if they don't know how to land, just think about all that excessive force.
Yes.
Like I just think it's a terrible exercise. So the jump squat plus the barbell. Now, in your opinion, what are some easy ways that we could change it to make that a much more safer exercise?
Trap bar, squat jumps, even goblet squat jumps.
Goblets, I can give you that.
They can be a little bit of a pain. I mean, if you go too heavy, they can be hard to do, but just so loaded down by the sides.
Yeah.
Like chest and shoulders up, squat down, jump up, land soft.
Yeah. So dumbbell jump squat?
Yeah, dumbbell. Yes,
I'd even say...
Yes.
Put on a weight vest.
Yeah, okay, yep, weight vest, yep.
Really, it's as simple as that. Now you got to make sure the weight vest is snug enough because sometimes you end up just...
cracking yourself in the teeth.
Yeah, and that sucks. But when I still see people promoting this, I just think it's absolutely asinine.
Yeah.
I would never, especially if someone has a back issue, hip problems, knee problems, not to mention it's probably going to force your head forward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's barbell jump squats should not be done in any way, shape, or form. Again, we gave four safer options to be able to do a resisted jump squat. And even then, you want to be careful because the whole point of a jump squat is more so to build power and explosiveness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how much weight can I lift. So
band jump squats too.
Banded jump squats.
Yep.
Anything that's not loading the spine,
mm-hmm.
probably going to be beneficial for us within reason.
Yep.
But having that heavy bar across your back, sorry, can't get on board with it.
All right. My next one, and I have other ones on here too that we can keep going over, but kipping chin-ups or pull-ups. I can't stand them. And I think the reason that I can't stand them so badly is, yes, it scares me on the shoulder joint, people coming down with, and you kind of broke this down for me before, that there's a difference between, I don't remember if it was a difference between kipping and something else or swing or like the swaying.
Yeah. So most people do a swing instead of a true kip.
Yeah.
So think of like a hollow body hold.
Yeah.
So really, it's just a hollow body hold plus the reverse of that.
Right.
Most people swing instead, and then they do use momentum. So a kipping pull-up is momentum-induced pull-ups. And then they do what's called the butterfly, where they just keep going through over and over again. It's just one continuous motion. I've seen a lot of people have neck problems, thoracic problems. I've also seen shoulder joint problems. I stick to strict press. Now, the issue I have is you'll get someone who said, I can do 100 pull-ups.
You beat me to it. That's what I was going to say.
I did 100 pull-ups.
Yep.
And it's like, you did 100 strict pull-ups. Oh, no, they were kipping.
Yeah.
So they're momentum induced. It's like, all right, well, let's try to do strict pull-ups. It's very, well, I won't say it's rare. It's more common than I would have expect if you ask a CrossFitter to try to replace their kipping pull-ups with strict pull-ups, they have a very hard time doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and pull-ups are not easy.
No.
I just typically would say, you know, we're getting more core stability out of it because I have to maintain more control, because a lot of people can't control the kip.
Right.
That's the problem. And that's what turns it into a swing, which then who knows what's going to happen. And I've just seen a lot of issues with that. You have to be under control the whole time. You know, really when you think about gymnasts, like if they're doing the uneven bars, you know, really they jump up, they start swinging. That first motion where they start swinging their body back and forth, that's a kip.
Yeah.
You know, when they do it, it looks really, really nice. When the rest of us do it, it doesn't look so nice. And then we end up just using a swing and we lose control. So would I love it if people could match their output of strict pull-ups to kipping? Yes.
Yeah.
Do I think kipping really hold a place in this world? No, I do not. So I'm perfectly fine with that one too. You know, again, I would much rather see people replace strict pull-ups with kipping pull-ups. The problem is now when you see like, oh, we need to do 100 in this workout, a lot of them aren't going to be able to do it.
Right.
So.
And I understand from that perspective, like, and I think that's what kind of chaps me up the most about it is it's like, okay, I understand that in CrossFit or in these fitness competitions, if you have to do 100, the chances, like you said, the chances that somebody can just bust out 100 strict full-on chin-ups or pull-ups is very, very unlikely. So you got to find some way to create some more, in quotes, efficiency in order to create them. I understand that. What it is, too, when I've worked with people that are coming from CrossFit and you're trying to get them to do a chin and you're trying to get them stronger, and they're just like, oh, well, I can do 50 at blah, blah, blah. Or, oh, well, I mean, I can't do it without the kip. Can I just? No, that's not what we're. My goal is not for you to be able to do 100 chins. My goal is for you to be strong enough to do a single good chin. Or, you know, however many good chins. And I think that's why I find it so frustrating, is because people are like, well, I can do 100 of these. Why can't I just do those? Because that's not the goal. That's not the point. That's not what we're working towards.
Yeah. I just don't see the functional gain in doing it that way.
Yeah.
So for me, that's probably where I would draw the line. But I've seen too many injuries from kipping because people are not doing the actual kip. So. Right. So yes, I would agree with that one as well. Now another one, and it's not even so much the machine that I'm going to tell you about. There are going to be benefits for it, but the way that people use it, I think, are absolutely ridiculous. And this is still going off of a squat, but a Smith machine squat.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I have with it is that most people will load up 5-6 plates on each side. And then they do their hairy half rep because it's very safe to stay on this piston because it's going to keep you safe. And then they, wow, look how much I can squat. No. You didn't squat. You did a Smith machine squat. Now, what I don't like about the Smith machine is it's actually angled a little bit. So most people have to walk their feet out a little bit farther compared to just keeping it underneath them. And I know some people, oh, well, what about depth and mobility? No, you're going to hurt yourself. I just think it's a dumb exercise in the sense that if you're gonna squat 6 plates, you might as well just go over to the bar, the regular bar,
mm-hmm.
put 2 plates on there and worry about going through your full depth.
Right.
So I'm not convinced the Smith machine is bad for us. I think the Smith machine squat is bad for us. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I tend to lean when it comes to squats, like open chain of some kind, you know, whether it be back squats, front squats, goblet squats. I mean, because it also, you're basically doing a leg press or a hack squat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, you want the bar path to be straight, but fixing the bar path straight is a whole nother situation. Like, assuming that somebody can have a straight bar path is, I don't know, I don't have as much experience using it. I don't see a lot of people doing it. I've never given anybody it. I haven't done it myself. I've maybe done it like once or twice.
Yes.
But
stupid.
Right. Yeah.
It's kind of like the people that say, oh, I can do 100 pull-ups, and then you get the people, oh, I can squat 4 plates, and it's like, oh boy, all right. Well, one, that's not really a squat. Two, right. It's on the Smith machine. Go do 4 plates on the bar. All right, great. Now I'll be happy for you. I'll be impressed.
Right.
Until you can do that, sorry. It's out. It's not making my list.
And I would assume that becomes very... It's going to sound stupid because it's quad dominant in general. But like you probably must not get much like ankle range of motion. You must not get... Because everything stays straight up and down. Everything stays vertical.
For the most part. I mean, it's kind of slanted backwards a little bit, so you need to walk your legs out in front of you. So if anything, it's like with squatting with your heels elevated.
Okay, yeah.
The problem is if people try to keep their feet directly under them, unfortunately your bar path is going to be a little too far forward now versus your center of gravity.
Right.
And just, it's... Which is why a lot of people can't do a full depth squat when they do heavier weight, because they're just biomechanically not put into a correct position.
Right. So, they just don't have the stability to get down there.
Yeah, Smith machine squat. You're out.
How do you feel about box squats? And let me finish this full thought, because I definitely think box squats have a place, and I'm not putting box squats in this conversation, but just in terms of like somebody lifting 300 pounds on a box squat, or you know, whatever ridiculous amount of weight on like a barbell back squat, rather than doing a little bit lighter on a full, assuming like, you know, no back issues, no knee issues, like reasons that you would normally give somebody a box squat over a traditional goblet or whatever.
Yeah, so it really depends where they're at in their training, what's the goal that they're trying to accomplish. You know, part of the time people have a hard time coming out of the hole. So when they're at the bottom of the squat and pushing out. So really what they can do is a box probably is not going to be as low as they can squat, but they can really sit down, eliminate momentum, and then use force production to get themselves back up. In that case, I think it's okay. From a rehab standpoint, giving someone a box because it makes them feel mentally secure, I think that's okay. What I don't like to see, and if you go to any conventional gym, you'll see people doing box squats. They'll load up 315 on the bar. Once they hit the box, they rock backwards.
Oh, yep.
So now they're putting their spine vertical and they're compressing right into it. And they'll do almost this rocking position to now get momentum to come out of it.
Oh, I know exactly.
And it's like, oh, no. Either you're using a touch and go method or you're coming down and eliminating momentum and then go. So I think there's a time and place. Would it be the only squat variation I'd have for someone? Nope, I don't think that's appropriate. You know, we've talked about before, even if someone had knee pain with squatting, well, then a sled push is really a great option. A sled pull, great option. So there are many other ways if we wanted to get rid of squats altogether. But box squats, not completely against them if they're used for the right reason.
Yeah, I completely agree. Is it my turn or your turn?
Yeah, we went off topic with the box squat.
Oh, yes, because you started with the Smith machine squats.
Yeah.
Now this one, let's put it this way. I don't think it's necessary, but you might, I don't know enough about it.
We're not here to justify. We're just here to talk shit.
I don't know a ton about the movement. I'm not really experienced in.
Sure.
And this goes against a lot of what I've been taught about flexion extension cycles and all that sort of stuff. The Jefferson curl. So for those of you, I think that's what it's called. So
describe it.
So that's what I've seen it called. So basically, imagine picking, it's kind of like a mix between picking up an Atlas stone and a deficit deadlift. So it's, the point is for them to bend down in flexion. It's basically a way to strengthen lumbar flex or overall back flexion. So the goal is for people to be under flexion and stand up tall and then go back into flexion while loaded. Ross is looking up, is exhaling deeply and looking up a video. So I'm assuming that my explanation is not something he's excited about, but that's how I've seen it done. I've seen people do it with a Zercher hold too, which scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, I've heard it more as a Zercher, and that's what I'm thinking of. And of course, people can always come up with justifications.
So I like the Zercher hold for a lot of things, but this specifically involves the point of the exercise is lumbar extension. Well, I mean, I guess it's full back extension while loaded. And the thought is like, oh, well, if your body's supposed to move that way, you can strengthen it that way. And
yeah, so I know some people that do something very, very similar to that. I just didn't know what it was called. So really just end range loaded lumbar flexion, just like extension, within reason is fine. Now, if you were to stand there and stand on a plyo box and have 225 on a bar and just let yourself wrench down, the point of tissue failure, there's a small window of error. That would increase tissue sensitivity. But if you were just taking 20-pound dumbbells and doing that, I don't see any issue with that. You know, it's probably a good warm-up exercise. You know, it builds tissue resiliency. It may cause some fascial pulling. I can deal with that, but it shouldn't be heavy loaded. I would just never do that. It's just, it wouldn't be smart. You know, it's think of it this way. Joints express themselves better when they can be stressed repeatedly at their end ranges appropriately. Now, again, there's abnormal stress versus normal stress. If we tell people don't bend forward, they're going to get bad at bending forward.
Yeah.
So the other end of the spectrum with that is if we want to maintain bending forward, we need to keep adapting it. So it's the ability to withstand load at those end ranges as well. But again, the load, that's subjective. So the theory behind it, why I understand why people would do it, probably wouldn't be my go-to as far as an exercise that I would give anyone. Risk versus reward. Not that it's a bad exercise. Most people are going to butcher it.
Right.
And that's where the problem lies.
See, if I was going to give, if I was thinking something to increase the ability of spinal flexion, I don't give this often because this isn't something that you work with a lot of people on, I feel like a reverse crunch, something like that.
Yeah.
Something where you're not, you're not loading that spinal pattern with assumed mobility.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you do a reverse crunch, you can only go so far. If you don't have the either abdominal strength or, you know, mobility along your back in order to actually, like, get your knees to your elbows or whatever,
yeah,
you just stop. If you assume your flexion and then load it, and then you're just basically falling forward, takes more, it's more difficult to stop, more difficult to control. But
I can certainly agree with that. You know, and I like the reverse crunches. I think those are fine for a lot of mm-hmm. people to do. Again, you're not necessarily lifting with your hip flexors. You're doing more from the core, and then the hip flexors follow. So I think that's a fine variation. But again, not necessarily the worst exercise in the world, but I'm sure people are going to butcher it and run the wrong way with it.
Yeah.
So, all right, another one that's always chapped my ass, and I never understand why people did this, upright rows.
Oh, like straight, yeah. Yep.
Like the potential is there. That's the exact mechanism that closes off the shoulder and creates more impingement type syndromes. Mm. If we know that, why would we even promote that? Plus, where everyone in this world is very upper trap dominant to begin with, I just don't think it's needed. There's never a time where I think that is beneficial as a standalone exercise. Now, there are times that I've done sumo deadlift high pulls, which is essentially just an upright row. Hands are a little bit wider, though. So if someone's going to do it, your hands should come out wider. Elbows lead the lift.
Yep.
Because it can also cause wrist problems. But I just, if someone says to me, I got to build my upper back, bro. One, I'd throw a weight at their face. Two, I would just say, do deadlifts. Do heavy carries. Do anything except that. Because the likelihood of you now causing neck discomfort or shoulder pain increase by doing that.
Yep.
So, hate it.
Yeah, that's one that definitely is on the list of stuff I used to do when I was younger that now I know better.
Yeah.
Not that I was ever, like, cranking through them, but I would do it from time to time. And I would never program, like, barbell ones. But I remember programming some people, having them do just, like, band ones. More so for, like, a little bit of movement and mobility. But again, same yep. thing as you said. Like, if I give it to them, your hands are wide.
Correct.
At least hip-width apart. Your elbows lead. And as soon as your elbows stop, your hands stop.
Yeah.
No more, no... But that, you know, people get real... You think people get the forward head posture on an overhead press. My God, on a upright row.
Exactly.
That chin comes farther forward than anything else I can think of.
No, it's another one that I just absolutely despise. I just... Bad for your posture, just bad for the soul. So let's get that one out of there.
Yeah, so I have two left. So I'll leave the other one, but I hate burpees. I understand. I like, and I've given burpees, used them in classes. I think what I hate about them is it's similar to when somebody's told to do 100 chin-ups. It's like, do 100 burpees.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a... It's the equivalent to me of a teacher giving you busy work.
It's a space filler.
Yeah. And yeah. I just... Like, whenever I've given them or whenever we use them in class, we always tried to make it more so like a complex squat and push-up. So, like, you squat down, your hands to the floor... You kick your feet back. You're in the top of a push-up position. You descend as a push-up. You push back up as a push-up. You kick your feet back out wide, stand up. Versus what most people burpees are closer to like a squat thrust.
Yeah.
At least, you know, I mean, there's some push, but you do 100 of them, you're going to start collapsing to the floor, and then you have to push yourself up. And I can understand from a little bit from a functional standpoint of like, because if you're doing a few of them, they're really not that different than doing a get-up to your chest.
Correct.
You know, like doing a get-up down to your stomach rather than on your back. Like, I get that. But the way they're used is just like, nope, we got 15 minutes, 100 burpees.
Yeah.
And it's like, as much as I enjoy, and ladies and young children, cover your ears. As much as I enjoy banging my junk off the ground for 15 straight minutes. It's just, I don't like them. And I don't like them because of how they're used, not because that they could be used well in certain capacities.
Yeah, most people are using them as a conditioning tool now anyways.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of the issue. I mean, and you watch some people's form as they start to get tired. It is awful.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people get back pain, shoulder pain. So again, if there were another exercise that were taken off the face of the planet, I certainly wouldn't miss that one. So I would agree. I'm not even going to try to justify it. All right, another one that you'll see at the conventional gyms, a Russian twist.
Yeah.
Like, there are far better exercises. So for those of you who don't know a Russian twist, it's basically a V-up position or a top of a sit-up position. Take a med ball and you tap it on both sides. One, it fucking kills your tailbone. Like, I no thanks. Like, no. It's just dumb. What function does that really have?
Right.
Well, what about rotation sports? Well, your hips aren't flexed like that. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's just, I would much rather see a med ball rotation throw. I'd rather see anything. I don't know if you saw the, are you familiar with Paul Cech? He was an old school, like, holistic functional strength and conditioning coach.
No.
Before anyone got into it. He came out with what was called the tornado ball. So it was basically a heavy med ball with a rope on it, and he will really stand you against a brick wall, spin
okay,
to the
yep.
side, bounce it off the wall, and not only did you have to spin it, you had to control it as it came back off the wall,
yep.
And he just worked on explosive rotation.
Yep.
Great exercise. If you never had your abs feel like they were going to rip out of your torso, that was going to be it. It's the same thing as a Russian twist, except now it's in a functional position.
And it also doesn't assume... Russian twists assume thoracic mobility because your hips are not able to rotate. I mean, the way most people do them.
Correct.
They keep their hips completely stable, whether they plant their feet or whether their feet are off the ground. Everything from their like TL joint down can't move. I mean,
correct.
They may rock, but it assumes too much thoracic rotation. If they don't have good thoracic rotation, where are they rotating from? Their lumbar spine, which has some rotation, but not the amount that you would need in order to touch a ball
yep.
to the ground if you don't have good thoracic mobility. Whereas those ones, you're standing up, so you're able to internally and externally rotate your hips so that you're getting the movement from
yep.
where you're supposed to, your thoracic and your hips, not from your lumbar spine.
Yep, and it's just crazy to me because most people, when they talk about low back pain, for example,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you put someone in that V-up position, they're never in a neutral curve. You know, they're going to be a little bit more of a lordotic curve, anterior pelvic tilt, and then they start to get that pain in their back. So unless you had superb core conditioning, it is not something I would ever do. Whereas if you put them in a standing position, get them in that athletic ready stance, very, very stable. So again, here's a case. I would never do a Russian twist. And there are much better options, much more functional options that we can go off of as well. Any more on your list?
I mean, the only one I had is the only one I had left, and this was just kind of like a make sure that I had six in case you took three of mine or whatever, are just regular old sit-ups. I feel like we're past the point of...
We just don't need them.
Yeah.
I mean, functionally, it does nothing for us, and... I mean, even the military's done away with them. So,
yeah.
Really, there's no reason to ever do them.
Yep.
You know, especially with low back pain, it's not something that I would give someone. And unless someone had a task in their life that had to be replicated with a sit-up, I would never do it.
Right.
So, you'll never see me give someone that. You'll never see me do it. I mean, the silence says it all as far
right.
as that stuff's concerned. So... All right, any other exercises that you can, you know, just off the top of your head that you just want to throw in there? You know, I like how you went more for your big ticket items, and I went more of the small ticket items that we'd see in the conventional gyms.
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, we can come back and probably do another episode of this, and I can work through rehab exercises that I think are dumb.
Yeah.
Because you've probably seen them all, too, and that will probably be good, and... Hopefully, no other PTs will ever listen to this. But,
well, maybe they'll change their their ways. Maybe they'll
or they'll just say, "Wow, he's angry and he's an asshole." It's like, man, not wrong on both counts. but what do I know? So, all right. Well, I think we'll wrap it up. And hopefully, everyone enjoy this naughty list edition as far as the exercises were concerned. If you currently do these exercises and you find a benefit with them, again, we're not trashing on you. The goal is to really always provide you guys with information to keep you safe, happy, and healthy. So, you know, if there's a way that we can help with these exercises to ensure that you're going to have a long, robust lifestyle, please let us know. And for what it's worth, what do we know? It's just two guys hitting here, having a conversation, shooting the shit. Sometimes we sound intelligent. You know, maybe this time it just made us sound like a jerk, but we always want to make sure that we have your long-term health in mind. So with that said, you guys know the drill. All the information will be listed at the bottom. Get in touch with Adam. You can go to his website, Gray Method. You can go to Fit for Life. You can always email Adam if you need personal training. Reach out to Adam. I have Ask Ross Anything. It won't be till after the new year. But if you guys have any questions about injuries that you need help with, feel free to reach out. If you need any recommendations on supplementation, you'll see my full script down there. But other than that, hopefully you guys enjoy listening to this. We'll come back next week with another edition on nutrition. And again, if you're eating that stuff, we're not saying you have to throw it away. It's just our opinion for what it's worth, and we'll go from there. But with that said, hopefully you guys enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Later.